you intro it this time.
You introed it and we didn't use it.
So. Hey everybody, it's Movie Bonfire. We're back in business and we're back in the church. Can you believe it? It's amazing in here.
If you can believe that, you'll believe anything.
Listen to the echo and you'll know that we are in a big, dark, beautiful room.
Right this now. Is where we come to talk about superhero movies. This is where we did Iron Man, and this is where now we're going to talk about a new superhero movie, The Incredible Hulk, and which has ties to Iron Man.
It does, actually, because did you know that the Hulk and Iron Man are made by the same company, Marvel Comics?
This is their first two movies as a production company.
I know.
So this is a big thing for them, and it seems like it's going well since the Hulk made $55 million opening weekend.
Another little detail to throw in there, which is kind of a spoiler, but I'm going to do it anyway, is that Tony Stark, which is the hero from Iron Man, shows up.
That's not a spoiler. You know what that was? That was probably originally supposed to be a surprise, but then when people started being like, Hulk doesn't look that good, they started telling people about that so they'd get more excited about it. And I think it worked.
It did work, because people love that Tony Stark snarkiness. I just wanted to say snarky again on our podcast, because we've said it like 10 times.
I wanted to say sanctimonious, because we're in a church, so I'm just going to throw it out there.
All right, so I saw the Hulk, and
I didn't.
I liked it a lot better than Iron Man. The thing I like about the Hulk is that his storyline is not like, you know, go get in the suit, you know, give yourself some electric powers and you're a Superboy and you can control it and fly around. The thing about the Hulk is it's a disease to him. He can't control it. Basically, it's when he gets angry, he turns into this giant monster.
Is he giant?
And he doesn't want to turn into this monster. Yeah, he's pretty giant. He's like twice the size. I'd say he's probably 10 feet tall, maybe 11.
Nice.
So you like that first off, and then you throw in the fact that our hero on the human side of the coin is played
by Edward Norton.
Right?
Yeah, was he good?
He's my favorite, one of my favorite actors. He's a serviceable. He's a little scrawny dude.
Fine. So from this, you said you like this one better than Iron Man. So do you think this movie would have benefited, like Norton said, from adding like an extra 45 minutes?
No, it was perfect. It's the perfect length. We don't need 70 more minutes. That guy is a pretentious kind of like perfectionist, and we don't need his input, in my opinion. I think it was fine how it was. He's probably not going to be back in part two when they make part two, because it seems like this movie's got enough box office to warrant part two, just because of his hard to deal with ways.
Do you think they'll make a part two, or do you think they'll just make the Avengers movie?
Oh, is that what's going to happen? Who's in the Avengers? The Avengers is like a Super Friends, right?
They're like super
Marvel Super Friends?
I guess. I don't know.
Is Tony Stark in it? Is Iron Man and Hulk in the same thing?
And I think Thor and Captain America.
Now, the thing is, he can't really control himself when he's Hulk, so how is he going to be part of, like, a team if he's just an idiot, like, not being able to control himself?
I have no idea. You're asking the wrong guy.
We need to get some comic book man in here to explain how...
Marvel man. Some Hulkamaniacs.
I've never read
What'd you call them?
Hulkamaniacs.
Hulkamaniacs. We need to get some Hulkamaniacs.
Wait, you're getting ahead of yourself. That's the next movie. But all right, so the reason it's better is we got a better hero. We got Edward Norton, better actor.
Robert Downey Jr. in
Here's the whole
Iron
reason.
Man?
If you remember what I said in Iron Man, the villain in the Iron Man movie was lacking and it hadn't made no sense. We just whipped up some Transformer fights at the end. In this movie, it actually makes sense that Tim Roth is, we have a little bit of a confrontation at the end of the movie, and it actually develops. And the battle at the end of the movie is a lot better than the battle that you get in Iron Man.
That's not hard.
Well, it was...
That battle was pretty bad.
They don't even... Well, yeah, it was bad. But the fact that there was no motivation for the villain in the other movie, but this one actually had motivation, just actually made it better.
Cool.
And it's a lot darker. This movie is, like, serious. There's not a lot... There's a couple laughs, but it's not like...
So there's none of that Looney Tune kind of stuff happening like in Iron Man?
When you fly up 500 feet in the air,
and hit
your head into some
sand,
desert dust and go, whew!
Yeah.
That was a tough flight I just had. No, there's none of that going on. It's serious. As serious as you can get in a comic book movie.
Well, when you got Edward Norton... You know you're getting serious.
Here's my question to you, Zach. I think I posed this when we did the preview of this episode earlier. It seems that with these Marvel movies, they're going by the numbers as far as like following the character from the comic book pretty straightforward. I mean, the Hulk in this is straight out of the Marvel comics. They don't really try to change anything for the movie like, say, Batman is doing, Batman Returns. They kind of like let it go off on a new little tangent. They did that with Iron Man, they did the Hulk. Do you think that's going to be something they can continue with? Or do you think that audiences are going to get bored and say, you know, you're just feeding me the old comic book shit?
Man, right now, I would have thought that this summer it was already too much, you know? I thought, like, Iron Man and Hulk, people would be like, I don't care. I'm kind of bored with Spider-Man. I'm excited about Batman, but, you know, these other guys, I don't care. But look at that. They made almost $60 million. Each of these movies made almost $60 million opening weekend. So I think there's an audience out there for these things, and if they're pleasing the people that want to see them, then that's what they're going to do. There might be a glut eventually, just like there was with horror movies, where 4 years ago, if you made a horror movie, that was guaranteed you're making some money right there. Easy. Yeah. Maybe in 4 years from now, superhero movies are going to be old. Nothing. Nobody cares.
Yeah, they'll get tired of just like everything. But
yeah, hopefully. I mean, I like to see a superhero movie maybe every now and then, but I don't need a new superhero every month.
I think what I'm after is a person who never really read comic books when they were growing up is I can see the legend of, say, a Batman, and I want the movie to extend that legend. Like the original, you know, Tim Burton Batman, it extended Batman into something new. It became like a black suit. He became, you know, a lot. Gotham became a lot darker, became more like, you know, influences of Blade Runner. They pushed the legend of that comic book into a different direction and made it better. I don't see these Marvel ones doing it. Maybe they are, but I'm just not.
I think with the cost of making a movie now and the cost of promoting it and the rise of Comic-Con and all these geeky things, they can't risk that. They can't say, here, Tim Burton, take free reign, do whatever you want with this character, and let's see what happens, because there's too much riding on it. You know, look what happened with Ang Lee when he made the Hulk.
Yeah, that's what I was
They said, say. F you, Ang Lee. This is not the comic book guy that I like. Done. They didn't care.
I'm sure Stan Lee and all the Marvel henchmen, when that first Hulk came out, and like this, like, you know, hero that they basically made into a wimp. Is that the problem with the original Hulk?
I didn't see it. I don't know.
Like, he's too wimpy, or it's too.
I think they
too
said it was
story
too.
Line.
Yeah, too much delving into the the brain.
Well, why do you hire Ang Lee to be your damn director if you want a slam bam, thank you ma'am movie? You don't hire that guy to do it.
You hire, what's this guy's name, Louis Federer?
I don't know. What else did he make? Do you know?
This director?
Yeah.
No.
Did he make Transformers? No.
No.
Is he an action director? Is he a Frenchman?
Sounds like it.
All right.
I know who wrote it is Zach Penn, and he wrote X-Men 2 and 3.
Oh, I didn't even see those either.
He also wrote Elektra, though, which is why I was kind of like,
All right, I'm giving this movie a solid B. It's a nice little. My brother went with me, and he said it was the best movie of the year. So I hope I wasn't influenced by him. He's definitely wrong on that.
He hasn't seen any movies this year?
It's not the best movie of the year. That would be Cloverfield, but all right, let's talk about
Cloverfield. Is the best movie of the year.
In my book, it is. That movie is great.
It was pretty good. Never mind, we won't go into that. Anyway, so we have a little segue into this other movie that we watched, a little bit of a smaller movie. We like to promote those as well instead of just these big $55 million opening weekend movies.
For one tentpole, you get one indie, like in our book.
Exactly. There's a documentary out right now called Bigger, Stronger, Faster: The Side Effects of Being American. And it's about steroids and our nation's fascination with being bigger and being the best and being number one.
Which plays right into our Hulk.
Exactly. They talk about old homeboy Lou Ferrigno in there.
Lou Ferrigno's in the Hulk. He's pretty
He's also in this documentary. At least clips of him.
Yeah.
The director's name is Chris Bell, and he's from a family. He does a lot of personal stuff. He's from a family of really overweight people. And him and his two brothers, instead of being overweight, decided they're going to get strong, big. Right. So they start working out when they're in high school, and all of them go on to break records and be these massive weightlifters. Yeah, and like, both his older and his younger brother went on to be in the WWE for a while.
Yeah, they were like the scrub wrestler that gets beat up by Hulk. And
They're the wrestlers that are there to make the other wrestlers look good.
Yeah, I liked the movie. I think that the biggest thing that I got from it was the fact that it doesn't really start out to be very pro-steroids, but throughout the course of it, as he's like delving into interviews and finding out the real truth of it, he seems to really come to the conclusion, at least midway through, that for a certain segment of athlete, the use of steroids is not only acceptable, but it's necessary for those people to actually compete.
That seems to be, when he starts out, he's really anti-steroids, and you think this is going to be a movie about why steroids are bad and the negative things that happen in this guy's life because of steroids. But instead, by the end, it turns into the opposite, where it seems like he's saying, I'm against steroids, but it seems like there's not a lot to show why.
Yeah.
Besides personal.
Yeah.
Being against cheating is what he thinks of it as.
I think he makes the point well that particular drug of anabolic steroids gets lumped in with a lot of other drugs that it shouldn't really be. And it shouldn't be able to be classified with, you know, crack. And like, it's not the same drug, really. And I think it really doesn't hurt you as much as people, you know, they say.
That's what he's pointing out, that the roid rage, he said, no, none of the people that they talked about, yeah, that they talked with could name someone that had roid rage.
Yeah.
They said that all the side effects are pretty minimal. No one's ever died from steroids. It's not, and that it was passed as being illegal because Congress was like, baseball is my sport, and we don't want you guys playing baseball and taking steroids and ruining it for everyone. So they made it illegal across the board when there's just these weightlifters who are these, you know, whatever, vain, I want to be buff guys. They're not hurting anybody. They just want to be as big as they can.
Yeah, you brought up the Congress bit, and that was really another effective point of the movie, the fact that Congress spent more time debating steroids than they did about the war in Iraq.
And about healthcare.
Is that what they compared to?
Healthcare and Iraq, both.
Oh, my God.
They spent more time interviewing Sammy Sosa and Mark McGuire.
Let's get Sammy Sosa up there to talk to the world about his little steroid bit. Come on, give me a break. It's insane.
They talk about Schwarzenegger a lot. There's a lot of hero worship going on with these guys and Schwarzenegger, which is interesting. I didn't know there was that whole, what do you call it, subset of society that's just in love with Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah, like go out to California and work at the same gym that he worked at.
The Gold's Gym,
Like basically live in a van when you're 50 and you're still like harkening back to the 70s when Schwarzenegger worked out at Gold's Gym in Venice Beach or wherever the heck they were.
Anyway, it's a really, really good documentary. It moves really fast. The guy is a good documentarian. He does make things a little personal occasionally, which it's not as universal maybe, but I guess it still could be considered universal if you got family that you might think are using steroids or something like that. But all the interviews are great. The information he's putting out there, I think the best part was when he showed G.I. Joe's from the 60s, 70s, 80s, and moving on. The original G.I. Joe was a skinny little normal dude. And then he's showing, you know, the progression. And the new action figures, like, looking like the Hulk, this monster with huge, bulging biceps. So that was a pretty clear showcase of how people have changed their ideas of what they're impressed by.
Yeah. I hope he did make the impression that if you're a little boy and you have a superhero doll and you see this thing that's like, you know, grotesquely, you know, out of whack, you shouldn't be taking steroids when you're still growing. I think the guy would agree with that.
He made that point a lot in the movie. Everybody they talked to said, steroids aren't for kids. But then they'd be like, I started taking steroids when I was 14.
Right.
So seems like most anybody that uses some kind of drug of choice, they'll say, doesn't hurt you, and kids shouldn't do it, but I've been doing it since I was 14, 15, 16, whatever.
I think the problem there is, like, a lot of times you're introduced to them maybe when you're in high school football. So you're, like, on that cusp of, like, growing and being a man. And I don't know. I played high school football, and there was no steroids, at least I was aware of. I mean, I don't think nobody that I knew took them, but that was a different time, so maybe it's different now.
I didn't play high school football, but I watched the TV show Friday Night Lights, and Smash Williams had to take steroids.
Did he really?
But then he quit because his mom yelled at him.
Maybe it's just...
Nice job, Smash.
Maybe you're right. Maybe the current day, it's more pressure to take steroids when you're a little high school football player and you got to go pump yourself up. I don't know.
Anyway, I give this documentary an A-. I would give it an A, except for it's a little bit long. It's almost 2 hours, and it does get a little personal for a while. Other than that, this is a great documentary. It does everything a documentary should, and in a time when there's tons of documentaries out there, this one's actually interesting.
Right. I pretty much agree with you. I'm not going to give it such a high grade. I'm going to give it a B. It's a little long, like you say, but it's really strong. When he's in his interviews, he's got a lot of good interviews in this movie, and I don't know how this little guy, he's not really famous. I don't know how he interviews such famous people, but
I don't either.
It's pretty good.
Yeah, so that's our Muscle Bound Movie Bonfire Podcast.
Muscle Bound Church Bound. This is a great place to record a podcast. I love it.
Yeah, if you ever need to worship an invisible deity, come here, man.
Come on.
It's beautiful.
You're so wrong.
All right, well, you guys listen to us next time.
See ya.
Word.